For the last 5 weeks, we've been looking at the whole principle of sowing and reaping and the way in which God blesses those who walk with him, who honor him, who understand the principles of his word and allow the word of God to be, if you like, the foremost in our lives. And as I was sat in my office at the beginning of the week, I said, Lord, where do you want to take us? Because this has been so good. I've been getting so much out of it as I've been sharing. I know so many people got a lot out of what Jane shared over the last few weeks. And I sat there and I said, Lord, where? What next? What do you want to say? And I just felt the Holy Spirit leading. And this is the title that, I don't believe the Holy Spirit gave me the title, but this is the direction I believe he wants us to go in. And it's about keeping ourselves spiritually fit. All right, so I'm going to lay the foundation this week, and then we're going to get into the fitness program in the next few weeks. Sound good? There's some people in the room thinking, forget that. So I'm going to explain what that looks like a little bit this morning. So there we go. There's the spiritually fit weights. One of the things I was blessed with by my family over the weekend was a fitness bike. I knew I was going to speak on spiritually fit on Monday. I had no idea I was going to get one on Friday. But I've got myself a bike that I can sit in the office, I can talk to you when you phone me, and I'll be going, just be careful. I'm not a heavy breather, okay? Don't want to go down that line. It's just that I'm not as fit as I used to be. So when I'm on and I'm talking to you and I'm going, it's because I'm worn out because I'm on the bike talking to you on the phone. Thank you. It's going to take a bit of time. So just saying that, I'm going to try and get myself a little bit healthier and fitter. But at the same time, I want to deal with the spiritual element of our fitness in God. And I'm going to explain some of those things. Because health experts today are constantly saying you need to exercise for your physical health and your well-being. They encourage you to eat your 5 a day. They encourage you to do 20 minutes. It used to be half an hour walk. It used to be 10,000 steps. It's got reduced to 5,000 because they realize people live busy lives. And then they're now saying at least do a 15-minute non-stop walk somewhere. But what they're trying to do is to get us to be more active so that we live healthier and live better. So I just want to take the concept of spiritual health, because you may have never, ever really given any thought about the spiritual element of your life. Your physical, over the years, as young men, can't really say that now, but as a young man, I remember come March, April, that's when I got the weights out. They were in the closet or in the cupboard all winter long because no one's going to see your muscles under your jumper. But come spring, it's like getting ready for summer, getting ready to go down the beach as I did as a young man and just chill and look super cool. Okay, I'm welcoming you into my world, right? That was my image, and I'm sure many of you have had the same thoughts as a young man, that you thought you bulked out a little bit in the summer because you would look good. It worked. I got Jane as my wife, and I'm sure the Lord had more to do with that than me chilling out. What did you say? You haven't got any muscles. Anyway, let me stay focused on the message. So I'm going to share some thoughts on spiritual fitness, because your spiritual life is more important than your physical. Okay, when you think of the world in which we live in, this is a natural world in which we live in, and whilst we're on Earth, we have an Earth suit. If we were suddenly transferred to the moon, we'd have to live in a moon suit or a space suit. But the space suit houses the natural man, and the Earth suit houses the spiritual man. And many people don't give a second thought to the spiritual man. When the health experts are talking about eating well and living well and exercising well, they're not giving a thought to the spiritual man. Your spiritual man is far more important than your natural man. Your natural man is housing who you really are, as in who you are in the spiritual. Therefore, we need to look after who we are in the spiritual. So we are what we would call a tripartite being. We are a three-part, tricycle, tripart. There we go. You're a spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is the God part of you, the part that God breathed into man at the beginning of time. It's the spirit part of who you are. Until you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. And then you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you come alive in God on the inside. That's why for many who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we talk about a God-shaped hole in their life. That part of their existence is separated from God. There's no connection, and it's dead in sin. But then we come alive to God. We begin to understand that God loves us, He cares for us, that this is His instruction manual, His love letter, His desire for us to live His way, and we become alive to the things of God. But we can still get so caught up in the world around us because of our soul. Our soul is our mind, will, emotions, our personality, our character. It's who we think and process life through, our soul. So our soul has got to come in line with our spirit, and we're housed in this body. Does that make sense to everyone? I hope so. So we're going to deal with the inner person called the spirit of who we are. And we're going to develop some spiritual fitness techniques. You up for that? Good. Let's go to the Word of God first off, because this is the Word of God's going to help you more than I will. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 8, we're going to read it in the Amplified. That doesn't mean I say it louder. Yeah. Sorry, it's an old joke. I know. But Sally laughed. I know. I appreciate that, Sally. Thank you. 1 Timothy. Timothy was Paul's. So you got the Apostle Paul. He's gone and he's planted a church in Ephesus. He's then apportioned or positioned Timothy to be the pastor of the church in Ephesus. And Paul is speaking to Timothy, the pastor in the church. And he's saying this. He's saying, physical training is of some value. Now, all the fitness freaks in the room, that's probably worded wrong. All those who really love their fitness, all right, for physical training is of some value. It's going to do you some good, all right? It's going to do you something in your life is going to be good for something. Useful for a little. But godliness, spiritual training, is useful and of value in everything and in every way. So can you see, Paul, the apostle, is showing the balance. I don't know whether Timothy was a jogger and he was out jogging all the time and just communion with the Lord was as he's praying and running. I don't know if he was a runner. I don't know if he was training for the Olympics at the time. And Paul comes along and says, look, give more attention to God. You're a pastor of a church. Forget your bodily exercise. I don't know quite what was going on. But clearly, he was trying to bring some balance into Timothy's life. Physical training is of some value, Timothy, but godliness, spiritual training, is useful and of value in everything and in every way. For it holds the promise for this present life and also for the life which is yet to come. And I look at this and I think, I used to run a lot. I used to lift weights a lot. Not big weights, little weights. Well, I used to lift little ways. And it's kept me reasonably slim, and it's kept me reasonably healthy. Creaky knees, but other than that. but it's the spiritual journey of my life that I placed the greater value on from the age of 22, 23, possibly a little bit later, 25 maybe. Maybe a little bit later. No, 25. Right, I'm not going to change. She remembers the transformation. So from about the age of 25, I then put an emphasis on my spiritual journey. It was in 1991 that I finished my Heywayne picture of painting, and I hung up my brushes, and I said, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to read His word, and I'm just going to give my all to Him. And it was in 1991 that things, old things, literally then passed away, and I stepped into a brand new way of life. And that was when I started to read the book, the Bible. And I tell you, Genesis is 50 chapters long. It's a really good start. You know, when you start the book of Genesis, you think, oh, this is really interesting. It's the beginning of creation, and then you've got characters like Abraham and Moses and Joseph, and it's like, oh, this is really good. And then you get onto some of the names, and you think, I couldn't read much. I struggled to read, and it became really difficult. Then you move into Exodus, and the first part of Exodus was okay. I was doing all right. You know, leaving Egypt and all the rest of it. It's like, oh, this is good. Getting to near the back and all the commandments and all the things that they had to do, and it's like, oh, this is getting a bit more complicated. But I was reading the whole book in a day, just consuming the Word of God. I'd go to Jane, I'd say, I've read the whole book of Genesis. She said, So what was it about? Don't really know. But it was good reading it. When I got to the book of Leviticus, the only thing I remembered at that time about the book of Leviticus was the fatty loaves. Because it kept on referring to fatty loaves. And it's like, Jane, what are fatty loaves? I had no idea what I was reading. I had no understanding. But I was positioning myself spiritually. I didn't understand what I was doing, but I was in the gym. I was in the spiritual gym of God, and I was going from, oh, I'm going to lift weights here, and I'm going to then push and bench press, and I was running into the next thing. I should have you out here, Cohen, telling me what I should. And I was doing all sorts of things, and I didn't know really what I was doing. I was just doing stuff that I thought was God stuff in my life. There came a moment in the journey of my life that I received the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit took up residence on the inside. And the Holy Spirit became my trainer. And when the Holy Spirit becomes your trainer, He will lead you into all things. He will reveal all things. He becomes the one who leads and guides and directs. He's the one who confirms and reveals. And all of a sudden, with the Holy Spirit in my life, My running around the gym, not quite knowing what I was doing, suddenly things began to make sense in the journey of my life. And I think it's really helpful if we understand a little bit about my journey and what that can mean to your journey as you allow the Holy Spirit to be the trainer, the guide, the comfort, the strengthener in your life as we move forward. So for us to grow spiritually, we need to be intentional. Not just randomly running around, but if we want to become spiritual and grow spiritually and bulk spiritually, we've got to be intentional. Spiritual fitness doesn't just happen. Just like natural fitness doesn't just happen. You know, just because you're saved doesn't mean that you're going to suddenly become this mighty man of God. It means you're journeying towards the understanding of all that God has done for you, in you, and as you receive the wisdom and revelation of that, you suddenly become the giant that God called you to be. You are it initially, but you don't recognize it. The potential's there, but you don't see that development. You've got to be intentional about being in God's gym. And that way you grow. How many, it could be males and females. Males and females, how many of you would like to be fitter than you are? Okay. But how many, same hands, all right? How many of you are intentionally helping yourself to get fitter? There's a lot less hands that have gone up. See, what we want and what we do is very different, isn't it? We want to be fitter and healthier and stronger, but are we doing anything that's going to help that to happen? That's the key. And that's the key to the spiritual as well. How many of you would like to be this incredible spiritual giant that you're casting down strongholds and you're seeing mountains move and you're seeing the power of God at work? How many of us would love to see that? If there's one hand down in the room, I don't know what you're here for. But how many... I can get more. You all love me, don't you? But how many of us are in the spiritual gym of God where we are understanding how we can be the one who sees the strongholds come down? And how many of us are understanding how we move the mountains? And how diligent in the gym are we to see that happen in our life and through our life? Christianity can be tough. It can be quite a difficult journey. Number one, you got an enemy, all right? In John 10, we're going to get there a little bit later, but John 10:10 says, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, all right? So being a Christian makes you a target. It makes you an individual where the devil doesn't like the decision that you've made because you've come out of the kingdom of darkness or the presence of darkness, and you've given your life to Jesus, and now the Bible very clearly says that you're a child of the light. There's a complete... So the light is now shining on you because you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but the enemy now sees you as a child of the light. So he's going to try and cause you to be distracted. He's going to try and draw you away. He's going to try and lure you like a spider out of the place of safety into his web. That's one thing that comes against us when we're a believer. Another thing is, sometimes, you know, I've written a couple of things down. We feel undervalued. You know, we can begin to serve in the house of God, or we can serve one another in a different way. And we feel like we're undervalued or overseen or overused. Why is it always me? Why am I always going to do this? Why am I always doing that? And serving sometimes can be tough, especially if you are really good in a particular area. There's a saying amongst church leadership, not just family church, but in general. The more you serve, the more likely you'll be asked to serve again. Because actually the heart is, I see how you want to bless God's house and how hard you serve, rather than trying to stir somebody else up who just needs perhaps encouraging to serve. You find those who serve so hard and say, would you mind doing this? Could you do that? When actually the heart to serve, it's got to be in all of us, isn't it? You know, I love the fact that when Jesus came to earth, he was the greatest leader that had ever been who walked on planet earth, the greatest leader, and yet he showed leadership by being a servant of all. And he took off his outer garment, put a towel around his waist, and he washed his disciples' feet. Come on, let's all of us take on that heart where we say, oh, I'd love to be in this room because it's fun, or I want to hear from God, or I want to be a part. But actually, we can put on our garment and towel and go out into kids' church, or be here on a Wednesday night, the worship night, or just serving in some way. We would love for every person in the room to be able to serve in some department, whether it's hosting, whether it's media, whether it's cleaning the church, whatever it would be. But the key to serving is this you don't serve a man. You serve God. Just like when we give, we don't give to a man and we don't give to a church or an organization, we give to God. The same when you serve. You don't serve a man or a church or an organization or your team leader. Actually, we serve God. And I tell you what, it takes the hardship out because we are called to take up our cross and follow him. And that just may be one of those burdens that we carry. Volunteering can be tough at times. You know, I think of those who turn up here first thing in the morning, and very often those who are first here are often the last to leave as well. And it's like, you know, they could easily turn around and say, first in, last out, every Sunday, it's the same old. But you know what? We volunteer. Volunteers need motivation. That's them. Going to the gym takes motivation. When you get home from a long day at work or whatever it is that you've done throughout the day and you think, 6 o'clock, I ought to go to the gym, then you think, do you know what? It's raining out there. I think I'll just stay in today. The motivation's gone. Volunteering to come out to a church meeting on a Sunday night or a weekday night, the Christmas Bible study that Carmen and Phil are running, it's like, it's the beginning of the week, I'm still tired because of the weekend. That could be one excuse. If it was on a Thursday night, you could turn around and say, I'm too tired, it's been a long week. I'll tell you what, you can't win because you can put on something somewhere. But you know what? It takes motivation. And I can guarantee most of the time when you make the effort to go to the gym or go to God's house, his gym, you come away thinking, I'm so pleased I went. I'm so pleased I went to the prayer meeting. I'm so pleased I went to the worship night. I'm so pleased I went to the Christmas Bible study. I'm so pleased we went to Brockhurst Gate for the carols. Wouldn't it be amazing if we all turn up for the carols? What a flash mob that would be. All these people from church all down at Brockhurst Gate on the 18th. Yep, that would be good. I'm going. It'd be great to see you there. All these things, it takes the motivation to go and do them. I want to stir within our hearts something today, because I desire for us to be a church that really has a renewed hunger for God, for God's presence, for his touch upon our life, thirstier for him in everything that we do, that nothing else satisfies. But I want to hear your voice. I want to feel your touch. I want to know your presence. I want to feed that hunger. Because that's got to be the motivation. I want to know you more. Paul said that. He said, I want to know you. And I want to know the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Maybe not. I just want to know you more. But Paul went the whole way. He said, I want to know. I want an understanding of what you went through. I want an understanding of what it means to be so close to you. And I want that for everyone in this room, that we go deeper, that we soar higher in our walk with God. If we're going to live different in the world in which we live, if you're going to reach out into the lives of others, our light has got to shine. And one of the ways our light shines is when we begin to add fuel to the fire. Thank you, Jody. You just reminded me of something there, Jody. Sorry, I'm going to have to bring it up just for a moment, all right? Adding fuel to the fire. It makes a difference. People sit up, take notice. We had a bonfire. We were burning loads of rubbish out the back there a few years ago. And we were having trouble starting the fire. I think it had been a wet week. So we had an individual that was adding some petrol enthusiastically. In fact, I'd like to go even further, very enthusiastically. It's like, we're adding fuel to this fire. Then someone came along with a blowtorch and thought, this is a good idea. The person disappeared in a ball of flame. It was caught on the CCTV. If we had it right now, I'd show it. It was quite something to see. Now, people took notice of that, and we ended up doing lots of risk assessments and all the issues that went with it. You can't be doing that on the premises. It's got to be. But do you know what? People took notice of something. Bacon. The beautiful smell of bacon that was around at that moment. But do you know what? Everyone just looked in amazement when the fire fell. Come on. On the day of Pentecost, when the fire of God fell, 3,000 people took notice. I want my life. I want the fire of God to fall on my life more and more so that I ignite for Him in such a way that everywhere I go, people take notice. I can't remember who it was. It might have been John Knox. He said something along the lines, I hadn't thought about this until now. He said something along the lines of, when you catch fire for God, people will come for miles to see you burn. Thank you. There we go. I tell you what, we've got to be a people. Not just going through the motions of Christianity. Because going through the motions of Christianity, it's nice, but I don't want to be classed as some religious individual that's going through the motions. I know what my heart felt like when I first caught on fire for God. I've seen my life over the years catch on fire for God in moments and times where God has revived my heart afresh. It's what I want for every person in our house. Times of revival, times of refreshing in the presence of God, so that we come out fired up, passionate for Him. You know, the New Testament church had an incredible passion for God. I've just got a few things that I've listed here. They had a desire for God to move within their hearts. Is that true of us? Do we have an incredible desire for God to move again? Not in the church, not in the community, but it starts here. And then it begins to catch fire. You know, a little fire can start with just one individual. But I tell you what, you stand close enough to another person and they begin to ignite as well. And before you know it, you've got a church that's in revival. And then when the church is in revival, I tell you what, the world will see something incredible begin to happen. They had a love for one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples by your love one for another. They had an incredible love, deep care and concern. They had a passion for the lost. They just kept on touching the world around them at the time. And the world, the known world, the Bible says, was turned upside down. They who have turned the world upside down have come here also. Come on, we need some world changers, our world changers in God's house, so fired up for Him that they have a passion for the lost. They had an understanding of their righteous position before God. They knew who they were. They knew that they could do all things through Christ who empowered strength to them. Come on, we need to rise up on the inside, going back to the spiritual gym and say, hey, I can. Oh, there we go. Not that way. They're little ones. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. That's the physical, but it's the inner man of the heart. I can win that person. I can share my faith. I can walk along my brothers and sisters. I can be an encouragement. I can be a support to someone. And do you know what? There's this righteousness. The effective fervent prayer. It's talking of Elijah in the Old Testament. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That means that when we stand before our Heavenly Father and we begin to pray, heaven leans down to his righteous ones to hear what he has to say, to what we have to say. Heaven hears your prayers. That's why, to me, the prayer, evening prayer, nights, whatever we do, they should be the most attended meetings of all that we do, because we capture the ear of our Father, especially as we gather together, but individually as well, of course. They were filled with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. They were filled. And the scripture says, be being filled. It wasn't a one-time experience. It wasn't like, oh, I've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I feel the goosebumps running up and down my back. Wonderful moment. Fantastic. But he says, be being filled. In other words, keep going back to the spiritual gym of your life and receive from him. It's an ongoing progress in our life. And do you know what that New Testament church had? An undeniable attitude of courage. Incredible courage and boldness in God. That even when they were being beaten and threatened and thrown into prison, and many during the reign and the rule of Emperor Nero were killed because of their faith, the church kept growing. Now that's incredible, because I believe if persecution hit this nation right now to the level of what Nero was doing, churches would empty. And what you would see is a separation of sheep and goats. I want us to be a church that's ready for persecution, that we're ready for when tough times happen, but we're not doing it out of fear, we're doing it out of relationship. That we are so on fire for God that actually we have an undeniable courage and confidence in him. Second Timothy. Again, this is Paul talking to Timothy, young pastor. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. And this is really important, because we all need to be doing this. He says, therefore, I remind you, Timothy, stir up the gift of God which is in you. Stir up the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. What is he saying? You need that motivation. Just stir it up. Stir it up. Keep yourself on fire for him. Keep yourself in the place of the gym. Keep your place connected to God. Come on. You got to stir yourself up. For all of us, I could go around the room one by one. When was the last time you stirred yourself up in your walk with God? When did you just give yourself a... Come on, stop being so silly. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you still walking in sin the way you've always struggled? Come on, come on. Stir yourself up and live for God. That's a good way to stir yourself. Maybe somebody else is like, oh, I just love all the soaps and I love all the programs on TV and I just want to give myself to watching it because then I can have a great conversation with my friends at work. But that's not going to stir yourself up in the spirit. That's not going to cause you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Maybe you just need to say, ah, okay, I can watch that program. That's fine. But I've got to stir my spiritual being up, just like the Word of God says. Maybe there's just moments in your world where you just do nothing and you think, I don't even know what I did with my today. Come on, how many of us in the room, you say, what did you do yesterday? I don't know. I don't know what I did. It's like, was it of worth? If we go back to this, Timothy is saying, Paul is saying to Timothy, I remind you. In other words, he said, Timothy, I've said this to you before. I need to say it to you again. I'm reminding you to stir yourself up. Because we who have received God in our lives have been given so much. The treasure that is within us is incredible. The same glory that Jesus had, he's given to us. That's quite incredible. So we have, you read John chapter 17, and you'll see that Jesus is saying, Father, the glory that you've given to me, now give to them. So in the package of your life, you're walking around with the glory of God in you. The glory of God's in you. The power of the Holy Spirit is in you. So much has been, we've been given a name that is higher than any name. And he said, go and use it. I don't know what we do. We haven't got to the spiritual gym yet. This is just the hors d'oeuvre. This is the starter. This is like me stirring you up. Come on, are you ready to get in the gym? The fact that you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're on fire for God. It means you're saved. It means you're going to heaven. That's wonderful. But God doesn't want us just to be here existing. I wonder right now how many people in the room you feel you're just existing. You're going through the motions. Some people maybe just, I'm just waiting for promotion to glory. Others, it's like, I don't know what comes next. I don't know where I'm meant to be. I'm just existing. God doesn't want you just existing. He came to give you a better life than just existence. Many people in our world just exist. I'm just going to move through this. John chapter 10, verse 10. This is not existence. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Amen. That is heaven's intention over your life. Not existence, it's that you may have and enjoy life. That doesn't mean that you won't go through issues or deal with issues, but you have one who will walk with you through them. And that you have abundance to the full until it overflows. Our walk with God is meant to be so much better than what we've ever experienced. And I just want to give you a taster, right? Because at some point you will walk through the pearly gates of heaven. Now, you may be young like Annabelle and Kerwin. They're just starting their journey of life. Fantastic. But do you know what? There's others who are closer to heaven than you were the other end of the life and the journey. That includes me. Double mine, I'm 120. I don't think I'll be here. All right? But I don't want to get to heaven and look back at my life on earth and think, I could have had so much more. I could have done so much more. God gave me so many opportunities and I just didn't see them. I know I'm going to get to heaven and say, and the heaven's voice will be, well done, good and faithful servant. But I don't want that to have a PS, but look what you could have had. You know those game shows when, this is what you could have had. Jim Bowen. Anyone remember Jim Bowen? Darts. This is what you could have had. Thank you very much. I want to know what I have got so I can enjoy what I've got and do more. I don't want someone coming up to me in heaven and saying, Jeff, that opportunity that you could have had. But that person came along and they spoke into my life and here I am. There's no regret in heaven, all right? There's no weeping in heaven. There's no regret in heaven. But you know what I'm saying? That potential. You are full of potential. See, that is what a physical trainer, will say to you as an individual. He will look around and he'll see something in you as you're working out, as you're training. Charlie, can I go? Can I pick you? I'm not going to ask you out. I'm just, Charlie, how old are you? 14, 16? 14, I was right first time. Charlie, I see the potential in you. You've got the physique of an athlete. Picking on the right person here. You've got the physique of a, you've got lung capacity that is beyond the natural. Therefore, if you train right, eat right, and dedicate your life right, and you have the self-motivation to do what I say, you will excel in running, and you will have an incredible opportunity open up for you. That's wonderful words, and they could all be true. But Charlie still has the choice of whether he says, yeah, thanks, coach, but I'm still going to do things my way. The key is, will we do things his way? His way is always the best way. I'm going to finish with, have I got another scripture? I have got another scripture. I'm going to read the last scripture. Oh, I've got several scriptures. I'm not going to read all. Let me go to the last one. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. And I'm going to read it from the Message translation, which is not my favorite, but it does do well on this particular scripture. So 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 8 says this. And again, Paul talking to this young pastor. He says, you've been raised on the message of faith, and you have followed sound teaching. So he's bigging him up. He's saying, well done for doing these things. Now pass on this counsel to the followers of Jesus there. In other words, be a discipler of others. Encourage others. Be a coach to others. And you'll be a good servant of Jesus. Stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you both fit for today and forever. So we're going to close with this thought. Next week, we enter the gym. Is that right? Not boot camp. You know, we're going to go to the gym, and we're going to begin to work out. Because our soul needs to be worked out, because that's where the motivation comes. But also the spiritual person of who we are. Let me close with this question. Have you considered your spiritual well-being in your life? And have you committed your spiritual life to the trainer, Jesus Christ? Now, you may be here and you've never come to church before. You may be here and it's your first time. You may be just looking for an option. Is God an option? God's not an option. If you want the best trainer in your life, he's the only one to seek. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the other things that you desire will come into your life. Jesus is the answer to your questions. He's the answer to your world. And I'm just going to pray a very simple prayer this morning. And if you want Jesus to step into your world as not just your physical trainer, but your Lord and your Savior, he will do so this morning as we pray this very simple prayer together. So I'm going to ask you to join in with me, pray this after I speak it, you pray it as well. So let's pray together. Father, we come to you. And we thank you that your word is life and it's truth. And what we've heard today, I desire for you to be my trainer, to be my Lord, and to be my Savior. That you would forgive my sin and give me a brand new start. I receive you in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, every head is bowed, every eye closed. Come on, this is your moment to connect with the trainer, the coach of your life, your Savior and Lord. If you prayed that prayer and you sincerely meant it, I'm going to count to three. It's almost like on your marks, get set, go. I'm going to pray to three. And if that's you, I just want you to respond to Jesus by popping up your hand and then putting your hand back down. One, two, three. If you prayed that prayer, just give me a wave. Put your hand up high. One, two, over here. Three, four, five. Five people in the room responding to the message this morning. Is there anybody else? You say, yeah, that's me. I need the trainer. I need him. I need him in my life. Is there anybody else? You just say yes to him. It's going to count down from five. Feel free to pop up your hand. Five, four, three, two, one. Father, right across this room, Lord, those that are connecting to you, connecting to your word, Father, I thank you. I thank you. This is the day of salvation to all who will believe. And Father, I thank you for your touch, for you leading, for you coaching us in the journey of our life. Lord, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Fantastic. Come on. A due response. Thank you, Lord.